The reading is from 2 John. It's only one chapter. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much.
Okay, can I pray with you
just
as we start?
Thank you.
Okay. Lord, we pray for Kate that the words of her mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be pleasing to you. That through her words, you will minister to us, that she also will be blessed, and we the same. Amen.
Thank you so much. I want to start by asking you a question. What is your relationship with truth? Are you someone who finds it easy to tell the truth? Or do you sometimes, maybe a little, deviate? Do you find it easy to hear the truth? Or do you like the truth to be slightly changed for you? It is said that we live in a post-truth world. A world where objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than what appeals to emotional and personal beliefs. I think it was the Oxford Dictionary that chose post-truth as their word of 2016. And I think one man epitomizes this post-truth world: Donald Trump. We only have to think of his response to the 2020 election. Facts meant nothing. Or how about the many rumors that he started about Obama that were not situated in fact? Do you remember when he was inaugurated and we had pictures of how many people went, and he claimed via his spokesperson that it was the most attended inauguration on a brilliantly sunny day, but it actually had rained. And in everyday conversations, we hear people making comments about their truth. And their truth can be in conflict with your truth. Well, how can it be? How can it be that two truths conflict with one another? Isn't that incredibly confusing. How have we reached a point where in some situations there is no clear sense of objective truth? I ask you these questions because this letter written by John is talking about truth. In the first two paragraphs, that word is used 5 times. This is a book that tackles questions surrounding what it means for Christians to believe the truth. What does it mean to believe the truth, to follow the truth, to be obedient to the truth? How can we be disciples today in this post-truth world? What is it that we are believing in? Well, I hope that this letter written by John will uncover some answers to some of those questions. I want to start with a bit of introduction. I got completely bogged down by the context this week when I was preparing this. So I want to keep this a short summary, just so you can have a bit in your minds of what is happening behind the scenes as this letter is written. To John is written by the disciple John. And there are some similarity in theme between 2 John and 1 John, but 1 John isn't a letter. It's more of a kind of treatise of what John believed, including some poems about some important themes of being a Christian to him. One of the big themes, which is in 1 John, which he picks up in this letter, is about love. He says this: God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. We love because he first loved us. This is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commands are not burdensome. That last bit is picked up very similarly in verse 6 of our passage. And I think that 2 John and 3 John are connected, and they're two letters which are written to the same church community. 2 John sent first, and then after a bit of time, 3 John sent to someone else in the church community to follow up on 2 John. And I think the reason why John wrote these two letters is because this is a community that are struggling to keep their clarity on the gospel. They're struggling to hold clear to what a Christian believes to be true. And it's easy to understand how this could happen. At this point, the Christian faith is being spread by traveling evangelists who would stay with a church community, spend time with them, teach them, get to know them. And this has been happening to this church community, and it has been tainting their understanding of the truth. And we can imagine it, can't we? A particularly charismatic or enigmatic person coming to visit, staying with us, chatting about faith with us, and just slightly skewing things in our minds, asking questions that we don't quite have the answers to. And they didn't have a Bible to read yet. This was how they were learning and understanding. So I hope we can have some compassion as to how this might have happened. Now, there's a suggestion that the leader of the church has become particularly enamored with a belief, maybe Gnosticism, and in response, John decides to write in general terms. He then follows up with 3 John. But this is a subtle letter which avoids naming specific people, but addresses the church as an elect lady and her children. John is not writing to a woman. That would have been completely inappropriate at the time. He's writing to a church, an elect lady and her children, the people in the church. And he calls himself an old man, the elder. There's subtlety in the letter, which reminded me, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, of how Paul cleverly crafts his letter to Philemon, asking for his care for his runaway slave. Well, you might think that this letter might be irrelevant, but let me ask you some questions which this church community were probably struggling with, and which I think we might struggle with sometimes as well. Can you ever get bogged down and lost when trying to work out the truth about what we believe? How do you respond when someone's interpretation on a particular issue and the Christian response is different to yours? Are there particular truths which all Christians need to agree on? Or can we always believe vastly different things? When I was at theological college, we had a week on doctrine in which the college invited a local vicar to come in who did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I would argue that that is quite a core truth for a Christian to believe in. Can there be objective truth for Christians over some issues? Well, in our post-truth age, in our age where we're told you get to live your truth, you get to define the beliefs that you believe, I think that this book is incredibly helpful for us. Helpful for us in chasing the truth as disciples in a post-truth age. And let's now look at what John says to his church community. The first thing he says to them is walk in the truth. He says, some of you are walking in the truth. And by saying some, there's an implication that not all are managing. And he's encouraging them. He's saying, it's not too tricky. You've got this. You can do this. Keep walking on. Maybe a little bit like you might see Florence Graham. She's just learned to walk. And we will be encouraging her to keep going, to keep walking. And John says to them, what is it that you need to keep walking in the truth? He says to them that it comes back to love. This is what they should center their faith on, love. Now, as I said, that's a big theme that John writes about in 1 John, that we should love one another. And he says that this love comes from God. We have a gospel of love. We have been loved by God, and we should love one another. But this isn't a permissive love in the way that we talk about love, meaning any kind of love is permitted. John sees a connection between walking in truth and walking in love. This is love, verse 6, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Being loved by God and loving others, knowing the truth of the gospel and being obedient. John wants them to center their community on love. Well, what would it look like to be part of a church community centered on love? I think it would mean that you got a warm welcome when you came in. I think it would mean that you were part of a community of people where you were cared about, where people were journeying through life with you, knowing what's going on and loving you. But I also think it would mean truth-telling. It would mean challenging one another if we think our understanding is slightly wrong, or if we think that someone might be walking down a path which is outside of what God wants for them. Walking in the truth is knowing you are loved, loving one another, and being obedient to God's command. And as we walk in love, we need to think about what we need to be doing. I think faith is like planting ourselves in God's love. This is a plant which I brought from home, an aloe vera. And I want you to imagine that the plant represents the believer and the soil represents God's love. And we hope, don't we, that as we grow up and as we get older, our faith will get stronger. But it will only get stronger if we remain planted in God's love and if we are feeding our plant in a way that will enable us to grow. How can we be growing and deepening our understanding of what it means to be a Christian? Well, I think we need to be reading the Bible, making a commitment to coming to church. We need to be talking with each other. We need to be reading, we need to be growing and deepening our understanding of what it is that we believe. Because if we aren't working on growing and deepening our faith, then we're really going to struggle to know the truth of what we believe. And John makes it really clear, one of the dangers of not being embedded in God's love and walking in the truth and being obedient to God's commands. Because the second bit of 2 John is a warning about deceivers. John is warning this church about being discerning about the false teachers that they have allowed to come into their church community. He says, if you know what you believe, then you won't let these people in and your faith won't be distorted away from the truth that you have been given. And he speaks to them particularly about hospitality. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. And if you're a parent, you're probably quite careful about who comes into your house and spends time with your children because you don't want your children to take on understandings and beliefs that you don't want them to have. I was chatting with my friend Becky about my goddaughter, Naomi, and she was saying that she loves spending time with her mum, but her mum is always giving her kids chocolate, and she wouldn't give as much chocolate. But obviously, with the hospitality of you've got to let your mum in your house and spend time with her grandchildren, but she has to be discerning about making sure that Naomi and Jonah don't believe that you can eat chocolate at every meal for the rest of your life. And John returns to this image and the language of journeying. And he says to them, do not run ahead, but continue in the teaching of Christ. And I think there's such a clear message in this passage of how important it is for us to be deeply and firmly rooted in what we believe, planted in God's love, but also really clear on where we're going. We need to know our destination. And I brought this map with me, which really helpfully has a dog bite in the middle. So hopefully, I never want to go to some area of Milton Keynes. Kent's Hill. I never need to go to Kent's Hill because the dog ate that bit. But when you get the map out and you plan your journey, you know where you're going and you know the route that you want to take. And we know that we want to receive our inheritance in heaven. But as we're journeying towards heaven, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to hear something, some little truth that's quite adjacent to the Christian faith, but is a really clear distortion of it. And when I was thinking, I can't fold it, so I'm just going to have to put it down here and someone else can fold it at the end. I cannot fold maps. When I was thinking this morning, I was thinking, well, what are the false prophets of our age? What are the things that we hear that are talked about now that just slightly skew what it is that we read in Scripture and that we know of God? I think at the moment, people talk about manifestation and the idea that you can kind of will the life that you want just by focusing on it. That is not in Scripture. That is not what God promises us. And I think another distortion is the prosperity gospel. The idea that being a believer in God equals massive blessing. Because the Bible tells us that the Christian faith can be hard, that the Christian faith can be difficult, but we do it knowing that a good God is by our side. I think another distortion is that we are not truly alive unless we have romantic love in our lives. I think it's really clear in Scripture, in the life of Jesus, in the life of Paul, that that is not what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is about knowing Jesus. And Jesus said in John 8, 32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That we get a freedom in being a believer, in being a follower of Jesus, that is greater than anything that we might chase on earth. So it's really, really important for us to be embedded in the truth of God's word, to be planted in God's love, knowing how loved we are, that he died for us. We need to be pursuing our faith with the destination of heaven in our minds, not being distracted by distortions as they come along. And I wonder, what does that mean that you need to be doing? Do you need to be spending more time reading God's word so you're really clear on what it is that as a Christian you believe? There is freedom in God. There is freedom in knowing God. And I want to invite the band to come up now, because I want to encourage you to be thinking of, what understanding of God have you always struggled with? Is there some understanding, some bit of knowing God that you could be pursuing? That you could be pursuing the truth of knowing through knowing God? But the second thing I want to ask is, are you searching? Are you searching for a truth? And you've tried this, and you've tried this, and you know that there's something more to being alive. This morning, someone shared a prayer that they saw of a kind of a fist meeting a wall. And as I was praying before I came up, I thought about a kind of a fish on the beach that was like really needing water. Are you someone who is searching for something? Because I believe that the best and freest way to live as a human, the way to live the most wonderful life, is to be found in knowing that you are a child of God and that you are loved by a heavenly Father. So if that's you, I'd love for you to come up for prayer ministry at the end of the service, or to come and speak to Will or Opie or I. If there's anything in this that you want some prayer about. We have a great and glorious faith. of a Savior, Jesus, who died for us so that we could know God, so we could embed ourselves in his love in our lives today, and we could be in heaven after we die. And we're going to remind ourselves of what it is that we believe by singing a creed together. Please stand.